Our normal attendance isn't quite this large, so we're not used to having quite so many voices sing when we do those hymns. That's really wonderful to have all of that going there. So I think the kids are making their way out, and we're waiting for the technology to be good. Are we going? Excellent. Thank you, guys. Well, welcome to the seminar. You guys ready to do some Bible study this weekend? Yes. Great. Open your Bibles. Put one hand in Revelation 17, one hand in 2 Thessalonians 2, one hand in Daniel 7, and the other hand in Matthew 24. Okay? You guys work on that. I'll get back to you on that in a minute. Go ahead. Did you get all those? Revelation 17, 2 Thessalonians 2, Daniel 7, and Matthew 24? I know you can do it. We have these seminars every year. This is our 17th one that we've done. And the goal of the Grace Ambassadors seminars has always been to establish foundational doctrines necessary for proper edification of the body of Christ. We call it a seminar, in fact, for that reason. We know that grace conferences exist, where people come together and confer with one another the things that they believe. And that's fine and good. But there's something different in the meaning of the word seminar. And if you've been around Grace Ambassadors long enough, you realize that we are very intentional about the way that we do things and the words that we use and the way that we decide to minister, because we think words are important, because that's how God has communicated to us through His Word. So we want to get the words right. And so we decided to call our gathering of people for Bible and doctrinal reasons a seminar, because in that word seminar is the idea of seminal or seed or the thing that is required for growth to happen from, right? You got to have the seed planted. You have to have the right seed planted in order to get the fruit that you're looking for. I'm not talking about fruit inspection from Jesus's ministry or all that. I'm talking about the proper fruit that should grow from people growing in the knowledge of the understanding of God's word rightly divided. So all that to say, when we come together for these annual seminars, we focus on the foundational key concepts that we need to be strengthened in our faith to be able to be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we have done very basic topics, seemingly, like salvation and what is the mystery, making that mystery clear. And at first, I think some of us see those topics that we've done in past seminars, and they say, well, salvation, if anybody's got that down, I mean, we've got that down. Mid-Acts, right? That makes the gospel clear. But how many people have listened to or were at the Salvation Made Clear seminar in 2018 and actually benefited from that? Just going over the foundational principles of what we believe salvation to be. It's helpful. You have to go back to the basics. You have to go back to what's important. You have to establish what is important and what's not. So when we come together for our seminars, we're not coming to give ear to varying opinions about what you think or I think or he thinks the Bible's saying. We're not here to explore the trivial or get lost in the doctrinal weeds or to hear some new thing. That's not the point at all of why we have these seminars. And so if you're waiting this weekend for the big reveal, the secret thing that Grace Ambassadors have been hiding about the remnant and about prophecy and who the Antichrist is the timing of this and the date of that, I am afraid you're going to be disappointed because that's not the point of this weekend's seminar. The point of this weekend's seminar is to show you that the doctrine of the remnant is a foundational doctrine that is required of your mid-Acts understanding in order to be a proper workman of that position. And you may actually be surprised to find how few times you hear passages referred to from the book of Revelation, for example, and how many people maybe thought when they saw the theme of the unknown remnant that we'd be digging into some of these passages like Revelation 17 and 2 Thessalonians 2 and Daniel 7 and Matthew 24. That's where your mind went when you heard about the unknown remnant. Because that tickles your fancy a little bit, right? The unknown things, the things that are still out there, those prophecies that aren't fulfilled, and all those things I don't really know about, but I know it's there and I'm going to discover it. So if you think an entire weekend on the remnant feels like it should be more trivial or more of those kinds of doctrinal weedy kinds of things, then the remnant doctrine is unknown to you, which is why we've titled the theme of this seminar, The Unknown Remnant. Because as we look around the landscape of even people who know how to rightly divide, let alone Christianity at large, we see that the doctrine of the remnant is unknown. That people don't even know that it's there. And if they do know that it's there, they don't really know what it is. And we have seen a lot of issues come up ministerially because of that lack of understanding of the doctrine of the remnant. So this weekend, if you have been following our ministry for any length of time, many of the things that are presented may sound familiar to you, but maybe those are dots that you have on your page that were never really connected in the doctrinal concept or framework of the remnant that is found in the Bible. So we hope to help you do that this weekend. A lot of the doctrinal dots that I was referring to there haven't been connected for most people, and unfortunately, others simply have a wrong understanding of some of the concepts of the remnant, and so that means that there are cracks in our foundation. We're trying to establish this idea of the remnant this weekend as a foundational key doctrine of your understanding of the Bible, and if you don't have it right, that means your foundation is cracked, and that you need to patch that crack and get that shored up, and that's what we hope to do this weekend as well. So, but first, to get us all pointed in the same general direction so we can all take the same first step together in this this idea of the unknown remnant, a quick primer. When you come to approach the Bible, it is important to know from which perspective you are going to see the Bible, right? And so around here, our perspective, we like to say, is Bible-believing, mid-Acts, Pauline, dispensational right division, which is a mouthful. And we didn't choose those names because all the other words were taken. That's not why we chose to call ourselves that. Those are very intentional things that that we have chosen to label ourselves as. Now, it's not about labels. It's not about what you call yourself. You don't have to print it on a T-shirt, although I know some of you would like that. That's not the point. The point is you need to know how you look at the Bible. Like, what determines your framework for how you come to God's Word? And so we choose these descriptors very intentionally. We are Bible-believing, which means the Bible you hold in your hands is God's perfectly pure, preserved words that mean what they say. 1 Timothy 3:16 says that if you've got the Bible and you believe it that way, it's all you need. You don't need anything else. You don't need other languages. You don't need other people to tell you what it means. You can come to the Scripture believing it, and God's Word can work effectually in you. So we're Bible-believing. We rightly divide, which means we understand that all of the Bible isn't about us. All the Bible is for us, but not everything in it is for our instruction or participation. We are dispensational, which means that we recognize that God deals with different people at different times in different ways. That's what that word means when we use that as the label on how we come to the Bible. And moreover, we are Pauline, which means that the description of and the instruction for the church, the body of Christ today, is found only in Paul's books. That's what we mean when we say we're Pauline. And beyond that, we are mid-Acts, which is to say that the church, the body of Christ today, began when Christ saved the apostle Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts 9 and revealed the mystery of himself to Paul and when Paul started ministering there, which is to say that we are Pauline in all of Paul's 13 epistles, not just some, not more, Paul's 13 epistles. So we are Bible-believing, mid-Acts, Pauline dispensational, right dividers, and that is our lens that we come to the Scripture to look through. More on all of that on our website if you're not familiar. But that's just to make sure that you understand how we're going to be viewing these doctrines this weekend of the unknown remnant. So the mid-Acts position actually agrees with traditional Acts 2 dispensationalists on the necessity to separate Israel and the church. That's what traditional dispensationalism does. They see the church, the body of Christ, as being different than Israel. If you think that the church replaces Israel or somehow they're the same thing, then you are not dispensational. The broad definition of dispensational is that you respect that God's doing different things with different people, and those two primary vehicles are Israel and the church, the body of Christ. So mid-Acts would agree with that position. But the traditional Acts 2 position blends the ministry of Peter with the ministry of Paul, which confuses the church's identity and destiny and instruction, operation. It messes with prophetic fulfillment. They can't get that straight for nothing. It even sometimes taints the gospel. So getting Peter and Paul separated properly is important, and not all dispensationalists do that. So when mid-Acts says that the body of Christ was a mystery not revealed until Paul, then this necessitates a doctrinal void with what is Peter. That void is only filled with the remnant doctrine. The remnant doctrine, as a general definition, which Justin will flesh out later in the next session, is that not all Israel is of Israel, right? Not all of Israel is true Israel. That is the remnant doctrine that we're going to flesh out this weekend. So when you rightly divide Peter and Paul and you start pushing on Paul, people are going to say, well, what about Peter? That's because they don't know the doctrine of the remnant. Do you see that? And this creates problem. 200 years ago, the concept of dispensational thought was rediscovered, and that thought being that the body of Christ and Israel are different entities through which God works. That thought was recovered by Bible literalists studying prophecy. So you had people come to the Bible who said, we're going to take the Bible for what it says, and they hunkered down in the prophetic writings, and they learned to take those literally, and they saw the doctrines and the teachings that were there. John Nelson Darby, Arnold Gabelline, and others, though failing to apply it to its fullest conclusions, which is to say they were not mid-Acts, but they clearly saw a prophesied remnant for what it is as being distinct from the body of Christ. You go read these old books from these guys in their comments on the scriptures, and they clearly saw this doctrine of this remnant that is believing Israel, that is not the body of Christ. And unfortunately, that doctrine was soon lost. And later dispensationalists didn't know what that was or didn't talk about it much. And now, 200 years later, the doctrine of the remnant, what are you talking about? Like, you're saying this is foundational? Yeah, we didn't make it up. It's been in the Bible for a long time, actually. And people before us have studied it out quite well, and they articulated a lot of the positions quite well about what the remnant is and how that's not the body of Christ. And yet, when you don't know what it is, you're going to be susceptible to losing your foundational footing on where you stand from a mid-Acts perspective. So that is also to say that the remnant doctrine is uniquely mid-Acts. Because what those guys discovered as the remnant doctrine, they saw, and they saw it was different from the church, the body of Christ, but somewhere in the middle, they lost the script, and they confused things, and that has created a doctrinal mess that we see today. But you should also know that most of the questions, either from detractors and doubters or sincere saints that are trying to grow and ask questions as they learn about the revelation of the mystery given to Paul, they start hearing about this idea of taking the Bible literally and rightly dividing it, Pauline dispensationalism, mid-Acts, whatever. You're starting to grow in this. You have questions. Everybody's been there. We've all had questions about how do we understand the Bible now that I'm looking at it from this perspective. And most of those questions are actually remnant issues. If you had a better understanding of the remnant doctrine, a lot of those questions either go away or become much easier to answer. Here's some examples. Is the church today under the New Testament? Mid-Acts people can't get this right. This is a remnant issue. Are we born again? What exactly is the little flock? Who is that? Did Peter's group become a part of Paul's body of Christ? These are common questions that we get all the time through emails, when we go to meetings, visitors come out, talking to new people. These are the same questions that come up over and over and over and again, and we see a theme through them all. It's that, what is this theme? These people aren't getting the remnant here. They're not seeing the remnant. We're trying to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. The other side of that coin is the remnant, right? When you divide Peter and Paul, you're saying, look at the mystery that Paul and Peter, the remnant. Right? You got to know both sides, right? Other questions. Is prophetic fulfillment happening today? The churches in Revelation, I mean, there's seven of them there in the beginning, and doesn't the church show up somewhere later on? These are remnant questions. You don't know the remnant, because if you knew the remnant, you'd know who Revelation was talking to, right? How does the body of Christ fit in there? How do we return for the millennial kingdom, the church, the body of Christ? Do we return for that? Common question. If you knew the doctrine of the remnant, you'd know the answer. How can it be that Old Testament Israel returns, which is an odd, common doctrine taught by traditional Acts 2 dispensationalists because they think the church is under the New Testament. So they think Old Testament Israel's got to come back, which is a strange thing to think about if you work through it. Do you have struggles with Romans 9, 10, and 11, the grafting in? It is a hard passage, but if you understood the remnant, if that doctrine was known to you, it's less hard. Still hard, but less hard. Okay. The book of Hebrews, isn't that for the church today? Do you know the doctrine of the remnant? Because if you did, you probably wouldn't have to ask that question. What's the difference between Acts 2, mid-Acts, Acts 28? What about those in Christ before Paul in Romans 16? Why does Galatians say that Paul preached the faith that he once destroyed? Does Paul preach two gospels? These are all remnant issues. These are all issues from you not understanding the doctrine of the remnant. Because you get Paul, you start studying the mystery and you get Paul, and then you look at these other things, you say, well, that doesn't sound like Paul. I don't understand that. That's you having an unknown doctrine of the remnant. Do you see the connection that we're trying to make here? That's why it's foundational. Because you learn one side of the story and you fail to understand how that side relates to the rest of the Bible that you've now just created a hole in your understanding with. That hole is the remnant. The most troubling passages in Acts and Paul's letters are remnant issues. And we can't address the specific answers to all of these questions this weekend. We just don't have time in 40-minute sessions. We can't do it. But mid-Acts answers most of these questions, and we answer them differently than any other position out there if they were to even ask the questions, which a lot of them don't. A lot of these answers come up because you're looking at the Bible from the mid-Acts perspective. If you weren't, then you would just think you were under the New Testament, right? So if you don't have a scripturally defensible answer to questions like these, then you lack the remnant doctrine, and your mid-Acts perspective can be altered. So being solid in mid-Acts understanding requires you to have remnant understanding. That remnant doctrine cannot be unknown to you. It's a mid-Acts issue. If it isn't clear, you'll either revert to Acts 2 or Covenant Reformed, or you'll make a mess like the Acts 28ers and the hybrid folks, or you'll just jump ship into heresy. One of those three options awaits you if you can't get the doctrine of the remnant nailed down and shored up in your understanding. So it's not just mid-Acts trivia, this idea of the remnant, which I toyed with you about earlier in this session when we were going to turn to Revelation 17 and 2 Thessalonians 2 and Daniel 9 and study all these prophetic intricacies to figure out the timing of this and who is that and all that. That's like sugar candy fluff in the realm of Bible study, right? If you think that is the pinnacle of understanding the Bible, you're doing it wrong. That is not where the jewels lie, folks. That is not where the treasures are in all of those things. And yet that is what people are attracted to. So I realize the title of our seminar this weekend might be a little clickbaity in that regard. That was not the intention, but after we printed the posters, we were like, maybe we're giving the wrong impression. But it kind of proves the point, doesn't it? If you thought the doctrine of the remnant was about the trivial, then the remnant is unknown to you because it's not that. So we're going to explain that this weekend and what it really is. The opposition that we face as King James Bible believing mid-Acts dispensational Pauline rite dividers basically fall into three categories. You will fall into the oppositions of the Bible belief piece. There are people who hold the position you hold, but they don't put God's word on the pedestal of the authority, of the final thing that we judge everything by. They'll put themselves there by saying, I want a different definition for that word, so I'm going to go get a different version that says a different word, or I'm going to trust some man's interpretation to tell me that that's not what the words really mean, it means this. See, they're attacking the Bible belief position. And so you get that. And I don't think that we have a whole lot of that dealing with the remnant, but that is one of the kinds of oppositions we face. The other kind of opposition we often face, unfortunately, is the heresies that come with the attack of the Christian fundamentals. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of our seminars over the last decade plus have been geared towards those fundamental doctrines of Christian understanding because we look out in the landscape and see that people don't know what they are and the foundation is eroding from underneath. And mid-Acts chart, Paul, you get into all that right, but if you're standing on shaky foundation of the Christian fundamentals as simple as the deity of Jesus Christ, that whole thing falls through the ground. We have to know what we're standing on. And so we get attacked often on those Christian fundamentals because people don't believe them or they don't know what they are. And then the other kind of opposition you get, as I've alluded to already, is remnant opposition. The questions that you get have to do with the fact that people will listen to you when you say Paul. They don't have a problem with that. They have a problem when you say Paul, not Peter. Why do they have a problem with that? Because they say, it's all the same. What does that mean? The doctrine of the remnant is unknown to them. They don't know the remnant because it's something in the Bible. It's something in the Bible. They just don't know what it is. And so when you say, well, it's not Peter, and they're thinking that Peter and Paul are the same, well, in their brain, it's like, well, what is Peter? Because it kind of sounds like Paul. Well, it's not Old Testament Israel. Yeah, I know that. But it's not Paul. Well, what is it? You see, you're creating this hole in understanding and people are stuck there and you don't have a good answer for them. So you just go back and say, well, but Paul. Yes, but Paul, but also, but Peter. Let's explain Peter. Let's figure out what that looks like. Let's be able to tell people what's going on with that so that there is no hole in the understanding. The most common way to hide the mystery is to make you the remnant in some way. Go to any other church in town, and if you hear them speaking something wrong about your position in Christ or the gospel that you preach or the mission that God's given you today as the church, 100%, they're confusing you with the remnant. They're going to take some doctrine from the remnant, and they're going to say, no, that's you. So if you understand the remnant, then you can be safeguarded from that more easily, right? And this is where we see a lot of the errors in mid-Acts circles crop up, is because people learn Paul, but they don't know the remnant, then they start giving wrong answers to all the questions that we kind of alluded to earlier, right? And then they're off into no man's land, doctrinally speaking, and they've left the reservation. So learning the remnant doctrine is similar to learning the mystery, right? When you learned the mystery, it was new to you. Well, I never saw that in Ephesians 3 before, right? I've read Ephesians 3, never saw it. It's been there the whole time. Like, you didn't read it doesn't mean that it's not true, that it's not there. It's the same with the remnant. It may be new to you this week, and you're like, well, I didn't know the remnant was that big of a deal. Well, sorry, it's in the Bible. In fact, it's a lot more in the Bible than the body of Christ is. It's a huge component of the Bible. Talking with Aaron and Justin as we were preparing our lessons for this weekend, and we were like, I don't have time to read the whole Bible before the seminar because I feel like that's what I need to do to adequately prepare for these lessons. I mean, this is that much, right? So it's there. Just because it's new to you doesn't mean that it's new to the Bible or to others. And so it's time to catch up. If the remnant is not established as a key doctrine, your mid-Acts understanding can be sunk by the holes created when you cannot scripturally defend your position from the shots taken at it by your opponents. Right? So this is a defensive tactic this weekend. We need to shore up this understanding in your mind so that you can be better equipped to minister the truth that you've been given to minister and to handle the opposition that is the most common opposition out there to the position. So in that way, the unknown remnant could very well be the death knell for mid-Acts dispensationalism if we don't get our understanding shored up. So the goal of this weekend is to expose you to the doctrine of the unknown remnant, to give you a framework for connecting all those dots together, and to shore up that foundation by filling in any missing information and repairing the cracks so that we can all be unashamed workmen that God has called us to be. So that is the focus this weekend. I know I didn't answer any questions, but we're just trying to get everybody pointed in the same direction on what we're trying to accomplish and what this is about. You don't have to have your Bibles open to Revelation 17 or Daniel 7 anymore. I just wanted to see my brother's face when I started off the seminar with all that. So what is he doing? Oh, no. Yeah. This is why he stands up here all the time. You understand? It's just like, keep it safe, brother. That's it. Yeah. No. All right. So at this time, I think we're going to sing another song, and then we'll move into our next session. Thank you, folks.